Okay.
Okay, good. Okay, so today I named this teaching Healing, Knowing to Seeing. I named it this because being Christians, we know what the Word says, but sometimes it's really hard to believe it enough to see it manifested in our lives. So I'm going to start by looking at Christ's sacrifice and his fulfillment and how we have healing through God's accomplishment through Christ. Next, we're going to see that confession is of a big importance, that words have power when it comes to healing and anything else. And finally, we're going to see how we can go from knowing the truth to actively seeing them in our lives, to feeling healing. So we're going to start in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. And in verse 1, who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid it. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. And here in verse 4, the griefs and sorrow that he took upon himself, it actually translates to pains and sicknesses. So he took our pains and our sicknesses with him on the cross. In verse 5, it says, but he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And notice here that it says, we are healed, which is in the present tense, but in Isaiah at this time it wasn't a truth until Christ come back. It was a future truth. But it's in the present tense just for more emphasis to show you that it is a hard truth that you are going to be healed, that it is going to happen. In verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray, we have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opens not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. So Christ was a righteous servant, as it says, as opposed to Adam, who brought sin, which resulted in death, which resulted in the loss of spirit life. We are all under Adam's sin, and Christ was to die for the sins of all of us, for all the people, and God would see the trail of his righteous man's soul, and it would satisfy what was required to make us justified and righteous. And God saw this, and he knew that it was good, and that it was going to fulfill everything that he wanted to be done. So if we turn to John 19:30. John 19 and verse 30. Says, when Jesus, therefore, had received of the vinegar, he said, it is finished, and he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So Christ, when he said, it is finished, he knew that God's plan to justify everyone was finished, and that it is a whole. And now that it is finished, we can say it is mine, because what he did for everyone. And we can say that we have the healing, we are justified, we are righteous. So if we go to Hebrews, I'll just read Hebrews 12:2. It says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus knew what would be accomplished, and he did it with the joy that was set before him, because he knew what would be accomplished with his death. He knew that by him we have healing, we are whole and satisfied. So we go to 1 Peter 2. And then verse 2:24 says, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." So if you notice here that it says ye were healed, it's past tense because Christ has already died and he has already accomplished everything that needs to be done. So we already have healing. It is already ours. And we can claim that healing that he gave us. We go to Philippians 2. Philippians 2 and verse 9. "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So if you notice here that it says, for salvation, the salvation in it means deliverance from physical and mental sufferings of bonds and afflictions. And then every tongue should confess that at the name of Jesus, should confess that Jesus is Lord and to the glory of God the Father. So, in this, he's given him a name which is above every name, so that everything should bow at his name. So we can ask whatever we want in his name, and we can claim that we have that what he did, he accomplished, and that we can claim that deliverance. And every tongue should confess. So it's a confession. You speak what you want. It's a confession. And confession is such a big importance, because the first big change in your life is when you confess that Jesus is Lord and you accept him. And that's when everything starts, basically, is when you confess that he's Lord. So the importance and the power of confessing is such big importance. It's amazing. And it's also in Romans 10:9 when it says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus. Because it's a confession, if you say it, and the more you say it, the more you believe it. It doesn't matter, you can say it, it doesn't have to happen like the first time you say it, but the more you say it, the more you will believe it. So in Matthew 8, in verse 16, says, "When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with the devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses." So if you notice in verse 16, it says, he cast out the spirits with his word. So it shows you just how important confession is. That we confess with our mouths our healing. And also in 17, as I said in Isaiah, that it's the illnesses and diseases were taken upon him. And it's funny, in the New Testament it says here that he took our infirmities and our sicknesses. So that's what it was translated to in Isaiah. So in Proverbs 18, and in verse 21, says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof." So it shows you right there that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So there's two things that you can do. There's death, and then there's life. So if you speak death, that's all you're going to reap in your life is death. Death and life. But if we continue to speak life, and if you want blessings in your life, then that's what you confess. That's what you say. You confess it and believe it. But if you talk about how sick and tired you are all the time, then that's all that you're going to have is death and sickness. But as they don't own your sickness, "Oh, I have my cold right now. I'm not feeling well," because it's not yours. It's the devil's. So if you just confess that, you know, "No, I'm a child of God. I have everything that I need to be whole," and just keep confessing it. So in Luke 6, and in verse 45, says, "A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh." So the heart is the mind. So if you think good thoughts in your good thoughts and healing thoughts, then that's going to bring good. But when you have evil thoughts and the evil man bringeth forth that which is evil, which kind of shows you that's exactly what it all just fits perfectly together. So another example is in Psalm 34. And in verse 13, "Keep thy tongue from evil." So again, if you keep your tongue from, and at least from the lips from speaking guile, do from your mind, if you can get that healing that Christ died to give you. So in James 3, verse 2. "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and so driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, even men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. So it just shows you the power of the tongue. The bridle and the bit is in his mouth. And if you just tug a little bit on that bit, it'll direct the rudder. It's a huge, giant ship. In that deliverance that we have with our tongue. So, in John 15:7, it says, "If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you." So, you can ask whatever you want. You can ask for that healing. You can ask for, doesn't matter what kind of, it can be a physical healing, mental healing, anything, but you can go to him and ask him for that deliverance, because we already have it. It is already being accomplished by Christ. So we go to Proverbs 12. In verse 18. "There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The lip of truth shall be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment. Deceit is in the heart of them that imagine evil, but to the counselors of peace is joy." So again, it's just another verse telling you that the tongue is such an important thing to confess. It can be evil and it can be good, but confession is made unto salvation. So we can have that healing, we can confess it and believe that it's ours. So how do we go from knowing these truths to seeing them in our lives? So if you go to Romans 10, you can see. Romans 10 in verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So if faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, then the thing that we should do is put on God's word in our minds. Because if we continue to read his word and put it on in our minds, faith cometh by hearing. We hear the word and we believe it. And we can just constantly keep putting it in our minds. You can look up, so whatever you need, whatever deliverance you need, whether it's physical or mental, you just look it up in the Word, and you hear it, and just continue to put it on your mind. If you go to 2 Corinthians, verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." So every thought to the obedience of Christ, just line up your word with line up your thinking with the word. Christ did that which pleased God. He followed God's word and his plan. So if we line up our thinking with God's word, if we continue to keep putting it in our minds, we will see the healing and deliverance that we have. And also warfare. There are definitely, in verse 4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal." Warfare, it's not an easy thing to go to the word continually. There's the devil that's trying to stop you from putting the word on your mind, because it is a war. you have to actively renew your mind, and it's a battle. So you don't be afraid to do a little work. You have to go continually to God's word. It has to. It's not easy, but it's a war. And if we go to Romans 12. So I'm going to read it from the Working Translation, and you can follow along. It's verse 1. Therefore, brothers, I exhort you by the compassion of God to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, sanctified, well-pleasing to God, which is your logical divine service as sons of God. Do not be fashioned by this age, but be transfigured by the renewing of the mind, so that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. So, the world can form you with all the information that's coming in. It can, with all the information, all the words that are coming at you from the world, it's very easy to get fashioned to this age. It's very easy to get distracted and not go to the Bible as much. Because it is, the world is ruled by Satan. He's called the God of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers. So the way that we are not fashioned by this age is to renew the mind, put on God's word through God's, it says in verse 2, that says, be transfigured by the renewing of the mind so that you may prove what is the good and well-pleasing and mature will of God. And the will of God is God put his will in his word. So if we go to his word and continually put it on in our minds, then we won't be fashioned by this age. So through Christ's sacrifice, we are whole, righteous, and sanctified, and by his stripes we were healed, and we need to speak words of life and deliverance. We confess with our mouths and put the word on in our mind and claim the healing that is ours through Christ's accomplished work. In Psalm 103:2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. So God wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be whole. He wants you to walk out in his word and know his promises and his truths. And in Isaiah 41, it says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. So God is there. God is always there. And if you go to him and continually put on the word and just remember that Christ died and we have that healing. We have, he accomplished everything that God wanted to accomplish so that we could have eternal life and we could have the healing and we are sanctified and righteous. In Psalm 46, it says, God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. And also, I'll close off with one of my favorite psalms. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. So, his truth is his word, and it will be thy shield and buckler. So that's what I wanted to share today. Thank you.